I want to just come to the word this morning. I get to preach in a lot of places, and I felt the Holy Spirit just give me a key word this morning. I shared this a couple of weeks ago in my own church, and I just feel that God wants to encourage you, and He wants to thank you for your service and thank you for your faithfulness. And in June, had the opportunity to go to the U.S. My cousin has a church in Des Moines. I preached there. I preached in my friend's church in Tulsa. But in the meantime, I had a couple of days spare, so I went and hung out with my friend Reggie Dabbs. Anyone met Reggie Dabbs before? You might want to put your picture up on the screen about Reggie. And this is Reggie. He took me to see the Dallas Mavericks finals in the NBA. It was great. And we just had a good time. That's my son Josh. I don't know who the other stranger is. He just jumped in the photo. It was great. I got to stay at Reggie's house. We've been friends for 25 or so years. But he's got a dog. If you could put up the next picture here, Reggie has this dog. Maybe looks a bit like his own, I'm not sure, but he lived in this double-story house in Dallas, and the dog just would lick you and slobber over you. It's a British bulldog, and they had these things like, I was staying in the upper room in the second story, and they had these plastic mats on the staircase with probably 1.5-inch spikes on them so the dog in the middle of the night wouldn't come and lick me in bed. And now the problem was, it's the middle of June, and literally about 5 a.m. in the morning, my phone was going crazy. Tornado alert, tornado. It's like whizzing and whirring. I sat upright in bed. I'm freaked out going, I've never heard this, my phone going crazy. Tornado alert, tornado alert. And then literally air raid sirens started going off in the neighborhood. I'm like, what is going on? So I burst out of the room and I ran down the stairs and my feet planted on these spikes. And I'm running through the house going, Reggie, what's going on? And then I realize I'm bleeding all over the floor. That's just that dog. That's why he's in the cage. We have some amazing storms here in Queensland, but I've never experienced a tornado. Next thing, I'm seeing the trampoline go across the backyard and people's furniture was about 120-kilometre-hour wind, and it went for about 10 minutes and it was over. But there was a couple of suburbs up. They lost a few roofs. It was a very, very powerful thing. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. If I could have a little bit more fallback, that would help me. I want to talk to you about storms. Because storms are a very biblical thing that you see many, many times. But I'm telling you, when we're on the faith adventure for Jesus, when we're followers of Christ, there will be obstacles to your dream. There will be storms on the way. But the difference is between us and people in the world is that God's in the midst of the storm with us. He's always with us. And I want to encourage you today, if you've got a dream or a passion in life, it might be for your career, it might be for your business, it might be about family or kids or financial path. Any explorer in history knows that you're going to face storms on the way to your destination. You know, anything that you can talk about. In the Bible, you can see great characters, Noah, Abram, Moses, Joseph, David, Esther, Jonah, Peter, John, Stephen, Paul. They had to go through the storms of life. On the faith adventure that God's got us on, there will be obstacles to the ultimate destination that God has for us. And I want to encourage you today. So many times I've had people come to me and say, why do bad things happen to good people? I can't explain it, but all I know is this, we serve a great God, a good God. People say to me, oh, Paul, the world's never been this bad. The world's always been bad, and our God's always been good. He said He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. I'm telling you, you know what? Where the darker the world gets, the brighter the light of Christ becomes in your life and in the church. But why do bad things happen to good people? I want to put a picture up here of a couple in our church. They're pastors of our Adelaide congregation. And a couple of years ago, they had a beautiful baby girl. And when she was about 7 days old, they were at home and she was going to feed the baby. And when she went into the room, the baby was blue, 7-day-old baby. She was freaking out. She called the 000. The paramedics were there in about 15 minutes and they revived this child. And then they had to revive her twice on the way to the Caboolture Hospital. And next thing they know, they couldn't handle it. Caboolture crashed again. They revived her again. They took her into the Royal Brisbane, into the children's ward there. And they had a 14-hour surgery. Her walls in her heart and her valves weren't formed properly. So the blood was gushing both ways through the valves. And they did this 14-hour surgery. And it was a challenge. This family faithfully served God all their lives. And they're like going, you know, the first question, God, why me? Why is this happening to us? But you know, the Bible says the rain falls on the unjust and the just. As Christians, we're not immune from the challenges of the world. The difference is God's with us in the middle of the storm. And you know what? People began to pray. You know, the church began to pray. Family began to pray. People just began to call out to God. And I remember we were going in probably once a week and having communion with them in the ICU ward. And when we would leave, Pete and Sasha were in there. Then other unsaved families said, do you reckon your pastors would have communion with us? Because, you know, when you're in a really hard place, you'll try anything. Some of those families have been there for 20 years. I don't know if I'm that, but what about if I bring my guitar in and I'll sing some church songs and I'll have communion with you. And next thing, once a week on a Thursday, they're having communion with all these other families, non-Christians in the ICU world. You know, she had a couple of surgeries and it was a challenging season for that baby to come through all that. But now she's like, you know, I think there's another picture here. She's about five, little Amelia now. She's a miracle child. There's another photo there, you can put it up of her. She's just a healthy little girl, amen. And a testimony and all the opportunities that came out of that storm for them to share their faith. But I don't know why bad things happen to good people. All I know is that we serve a good God who is a God of love. And his love casts out all fear. It's perfect love. And you know, I have a great friend. You may see him on the screen. His name's Nick Vujicic. You may have seen Nick on TV and Oprah, but Nick was born with no arms and no legs. In fact, he's from Runcorn in Brisbane. I gave him his first opportunity to speak at a school when he was 17 when I was running Youth Alive. But his parents were Orthodox Christians, and when he was in his mother's womb, they were advised strongly by the hospital that they should have an abortion because this child is going to have no arms and no legs. And what quality of life could a child have? You're going to assign your child to a life of misery. Well, you know what? He's married, he's got four kids, he's preaching all around the world. His life is definitely not miserable. He's filled with the joy of the Lord. And he said to me, Paul, I've still got a pair of Adidas runners in my wardrobe just in case God gives me legs. But if not, I'm going to serve Jesus to the day I die. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. We live in a world full of suffering, but all I know is God is a good God. And the darker the world gets, the greater the light of the Lord shines. T.D. Jakes says, it's okay to have fear in the passenger seat as long as you have faith in the driver's seat of your life. Why do bad things happen to good people? I can't explain it. But I'll just say it again. Our God is a good God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have the gift of eternal life. I want you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 8, verse 23. It says this, as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. That's a very biblical thing this afternoon for many people. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him, shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. And he asked them, where is your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man, they asked each other, that when he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him? You know, the definition of a storm, I looked this up in a dictionary. This is what it is. A blowing of a violent wind with rain and thunder. A violent burst of emotion. A tumult. Everyone say tumult. I love that word. A loud clamor, an uproar, a violent assault on a fortress, a military term. That's what a storming is. And sometimes we can just be going on in life and out of nowhere, storms can come upon the vessels of our life. It feels like your life is assaulted by the enemy. And the enemy doesn't fight fair. When you're down, he puts another kick. Things come in twos and threes. But now I want you to read the same story in a different scripture, the Gospel of Mark. I love Mark. It's only 16 chapters. I reckon Mark was a South African because it's short and to the point, okay? Mark 4, verse 20, 35 says this, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they'd left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. When the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. So the water's coming over the bow of the boat, filling the boat. But he was in the stern. I love how it says this. Asleep on a pillow. Have you ever been like in a storm and like, God, where in the heck are you? Where are you? It's like you're asleep to my prayers. But this is the awesome thing. I'm not a nautical person, but I think stern means back of the boat. And what's awesome about that is no matter how big the storm is, Jesus always got your back. He's in your vessel. And they awoke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Have you ever prayed that prayer to God? Don't you care what's going on in my life right now? Don't you care about this health challenge or this financial challenge? Crying out to God? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And when the wind ceased and there was a great calm, he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea would obey him?" Ye, storms will come. Who's over 60? Give me a wave here in this room. Who's over 70? Give me a wave. Well, you've seen some seasons. Good seasons, bad seasons. Storms come, storms go. Storms don't last forever. In the middle of the storm, you feel like it is. But I'll encourage you. Sometimes we feel our lives are being threatened by a storm. The issue is not how big and nasty the storm is, or the challenges, or how big the wind and the waves are beating against your vessel, your life. The issue is who is in the boat with us in the middle of the storm. Do you remember that old Sunday school song with "Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm"? Well, maybe I only one wrote that song. Because when you're in the vessel, you actually can, when Christ is in your vessel, you can smile at the storm. Because the difference is, are you magnifying the storm? Are you magnifying the Lord? Because the Bible says magnify the Lord. It doesn't say magnify the storm. Sometimes something happens, we're like, we're just telling all our friends how bad life is. We're on Facebook, hope we get a solution, or Instagram. That's not going to help you. You got to go to God. Magnify the Lord, not magnify the waves, not magnify the issue and the challenge that is in your life. Storms are spoken about all through the Bible. Let me just give you a couple. Firstly, storms can take you off course, but to a place where God really wants you to be. Let me say that again. Sometimes a storm can hit your life and take you off course, but maybe it's to a place where God wants you to be. In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul is in court and he appeals to Caesar. And the governor says, "And to Caesar you shall go." Because he had a conviction, a word for the Lord. He needed to go to Rome and preach the gospel in Rome. And so he gets on a boat to go to Rome. Well, let's go direct to Rome. And there's a massive storm comes. The storm is so bad that the ship is shipwrecked. This is not in the purpose and the plans of Paul where he wants to go. And they're all saved from the shipwreck because God gives him a dream. He tells the captain, "Don't kill us. We'll all be alive." And they come onto the island of Malta. And then they put on a fire, the locals, to care for them. And a snake comes out of the fire, bites him on the arm. And they said, "He must be a murderer. The gods are paying him. He's going to die." And he shakes it off and he lives. And then they think he's a god. He says, "I'm not a god. I'm just a man like you." He says, "But there is one, Jesus." And Paul preaches and revival takes hold of all of Malta. Even now, Malta is a Christian nation. Even amongst all the Islamic insurgencies right through the Middle Ages, Malta was a bastion of Christianity in the middle of the Mediterranean. See, God had a plan for Malta. And the storm took, he still got to Rome. He still wrote the book of Romans and got to speak to Caesar Paul. But on the way, sometimes storms put you off course, but to a place where God really wants you to be. Second thing about storms is storms bring people into unity. Unity in adversity. I've seen families that have been split apart, and then someone had a challenge of cancer or some challenge, and the family comes together in unity through the adversity. It strengthens the bonds. I've seen it happen to churches. I've seen it happen to communities. Third thing, storms force us to bind together to survive and then to thrive. You know, I remember in the Brisbane floods in 2011, our church was gone. So many suburbs. We had it called in the Kurumal Salvation Saturday. The Brisbane City Council asked for 20,000 volunteers. 85,000 people rocked up just to help people in the neighbours. Sometimes to survive and thrive, a storm can bring people together. Number four, God can use storms to get our attention. Sometimes we get so self-focused on our lives and our needs and what we want. Sometimes a storm will rattle our attention. You think about Jonah. God said to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh and preach the gospel." And he says, "I don't like those people. They're horrible. They're ugly. They're nasty. They don't deserve salvation." And what did he do? Go the opposite direction. So God sent a storm to get his attention. And then the unsaved captain of the ship said, "There's someone's displeased their gods. Who is it?" And Jonah put up his hand. He said, "If you throw me overboard, the storm will cease." And then in the belly of the whale, he came to a realization. Yes, I think God would get my attention too if I was in the belly of a whale. And he went on and did what God asked him to do. God can use storms to show his power and strength to unbelievers. That captain of the boat, the Bible says, when Jonah was thrown into the sea, all the unsaved people in the boat bowed down and worshiped the God of Jonah, because they saw the storm cease in just a moment. You know, when the world's watching us the most when we're going through our storms. That's when we're the greatest witness. When we're going through storms of health issues and financial issues and family issues, and they see the spirit and they see the heart, when you've been falsely accused and how you act, that's when the world's watching us when we're going through a storm. And you know what? Your character and your heart through that storm can lead people and point people to Christ. The devil tries to intimidate us and sink you in a storm. He doesn't fight fair, have you noticed? Next thing, storms are part of the normal cycle of life. When I was a Bible college student, I did my internship in Darwin for 4 months. And it's amazing up there because in the tropical season, the monsoon season, you can put your clock on for about 3 to 5 o'clock. There will be a storm that will build up in the Timor Sea and the humidity rises and you can set your clock to it. Then it's just going to come upon the city in a massive downpour because the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Christians are not immune from the challenges and the storms of life. Let's embrace it. But remember, Christ is with you in your vessel in the middle of the storm. Storms sometimes are a sign, here's another point, that the seasons are changing in your life. Sometimes we think, oh, why are these storms coming? God, I'm sure, I thought I was walking in your will. But sometimes they push us into a new chapter and into a new season in our life. I remember one time when I was at Bible college, I did Bible college in Adelaide. We went down to a beautiful place called Robe. It's a friend of mine had a farm. His parents owned the farm on the ocean. And it was springtime and the storms were coming in off the ocean. We could see this lightning storm coming in at night. So we thought, oh, let's go and check it out. We climbed a water tower on the farm. That wasn't very smart. A steel water tower with an aluminium tank on the top. And then as the lightning came closer, we realized this is probably not a smart thing. But storms are a sign the seasons are changing. Here's another one. Storms signify two different airstreams, hot and cold, colliding. Sometimes just because you're on fire with Jesus, you're going to disturb the atmosphere around you in your workplace and in your school and the university. You know, when I was in the Midwest last month, they call it Tornado Alley because the cold air comes down from Canada off the Arctic and the warm air comes up from the Gulf of Mexico. And when it hits, that's what causes those tornadoes. Here's another one. Storms bring humanity into perspective. Sometimes God just wants to give us perspective that we are man and He is God and He is powerful. I remember one time I had my two sons, they were about 10 and 6, and I was in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and I got caught at a bus stop in the middle of the biggest lightning storm I've ever experienced. My kids were screaming and crying, holding my hand, and it was nighttime. It was lighting up like it was pure day and lightning bolts hitting the ground. I'm telling you, I felt really small and realized how God is really big. And lastly, mature people can foresee a storm coming. I want to encourage you today, if you're going for a storm right now, there's somebody in this church, somebody in the Melbourne church that's been through that storm and come out victorious on the other side. They've seen the seasons. They can help you, a storm in your marriage, a storm in your health, that help you buy your first home. There's people here that can help you navigate the storms to get to the other side. You know, when I grew up in my country town, I grew up in a town of 2,000 people, 10,000 cows, country Victoria, and we had a guy there called Arthur. And when I was a teenager, and he was in his 90s, he was a farmer. And Arthur would say, oh, I remember when he's about 93, he goes, oh, my gummy knee's playing up. It means we're going to have a good rain this season. That's what happens. I know what's happening in the atmosphere. I can sense it. I'm 93 years of age. Sure enough, best raining season for the whole last 10 years. Because older people have been through some of these storms. They can help you navigate through the storms to be successful. Now, let's going to have an amen.
Amen.
What'd it say? Red at night, shepherd's delight. Red in the morning, sailor's warning. But there's three things I want to leave with you today that come out of this passage of Scripture. Three things that Jesus did in the middle of the storm that we can do also. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. Firstly, what did Jesus do in the storm? He slept. God's going to give you supernatural peace in the middle of the storm. He stood and He spoke. Jesus slept in the storm. He stood in the storm and He spoke in the storm. Let me break that down. He slept in peace. Mark 4:35, on the same day that when Jesus had come, He said, let's go over to the other side. Now when they left the multitude, they took Him in the boat as it was, and other little boats were around Him, and a great windstorm arose, and the wave beat in the boat, and it was already filling, but He was in the stern asleep on a pillow. They awoke Him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And He spoke to the storm. I want to encourage people this morning. You can have supernatural peace in the middle of the greatest storm of your life. My wife's uncle, Steve Penny, he's a pastor here on the coast. And many years ago, his eldest son, Andrew, about 28, developed cancer. He'd been married 12 months. They found one cancer, then they found a secondary cancer. And his health went downstairs really quick. He was in the Royal Brisbane. I remember the time Steve and Marion would drive down every day to be with their son and pray with him and believe the church around Australia was believing for a miracle. And after fighting that cancer for many, many months, it took his life at 28 years of age. And I remember going to the Clowns Uniting Church and the funeral was packed out. And I'm telling you, there was a supernatural grace and peace upon Steve and Marion. We rock up at the funeral. There's 1,000 people there, and there's Steve and Marion on the door comforting people. They're the ones that should be grieving. They're comforting. It's like I can't explain it. A supernatural peace in their time of greatest grief came upon them. I remember Steve giving the eulogy and saying, as a father, you don't expect to bury your son. You expect your son to bury you as a father. Sharing his love for his son. And then at the end of that service, he gave a salvation altar call. And about 19 or 20 people came forward and gave their lives to Christ at Andrew's funeral. I can't explain it. In the midst of the biggest storm of their lives, there was a supernatural peace, a supernatural grace. You might be facing a storm right now. There's no storm too big for God. He can give you peace in the middle of the storm. There's people here tonight and you haven't slept well for months. At night, you're just awake looking at the ceiling, going over scenarios in your head. If I'd made this decision or living in regret. But I'm telling you, God can give you a supernatural peace. I'm going to pray at the end of this service that God would break that darkness over your life. Break that anxiety. Break that worry. Break that stronghold of thinking that tonight you can sleep like a baby, a good baby, in your house tonight. I've seen some bad babies. My grandson's not been a good baby lately. You know what I'm talking about? I believe that. There's some people, you need supernatural peace. Tonight, we're going to pray for that. Secondly, first he slept in peace. Secondly, he stood in strength. Verse 39, then he arose, rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. You know, I believe sometimes we just need the strength to keep standing in the middle of the storm. You've got to make it to the other side of the lake. Storms don't go on forever. They come and they go, but will you be standing? And come on, our feet's not on the sand like this world. Our feet is on the rock that is Jesus Christ. So the wind and the waves come, but you shall be standing at the end of the storm. Some of you today, we just need to pray for strength to continue to stand through that sickness, to continue to believe for your children, the way from the Lord, to come back to the house of God, for the prodigals to come back home. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The devil tries to intimidate us in the middle of the storm. But the devil's all bluff. He's all gossip. He's all talk. He likes to intimidate, but with words and circumstances. But all we need to do sometimes is just stand. Stand on God's word. It is written, devil. Even when Jesus didn't know what to pray, he just confessed the word. It is written, devil. It is written. Come on. For greater is he that is in you, the Bible says, than he that is in this world. I feel this morning some people here in Sunshine Coast and also down there in Melbourne, I believe God's going to give you strength to keep standing in the middle of the storm. I'm telling you, the devil's scared of Jesus and the devil's scared of Christ in you. So keep on standing. My wife's grandmother, in her mid-40s, she had six children at the time in New Zealand, and she had an ectopic pregnancy, and she was, my father-in-law, who was 12 at the time, woke up in the morning there in Wellington and found her dead on the floor, unconscious on the floor. So he rang the local pastor, a little church, he came past, he rang the ambulance, they took her off, they said, we can't find the internal bleeding, but you've got to pray because she's losing so much blood, we may lose her life. They got a little church together, they started praying, and then after a while, they got a phone call from the hospital, you've got to come now, we think she's not going to last the next hour. He's just praying in tongues all the way there, and sure enough, when he gets to the hospital, something supernatural came upon her, because she had the sheet pulled over her head, and he walked up there, this pastor of a church, about 60, 70 people, he pulled it back, he said, in the name of Jesus, I speak life. I come against death, I speak life in the name of Jesus. And she opened up her eyes. Didn't matter whether the doctor was an atheist or the nurse was agnostic, because they'd written the death certificate, forget what they had to put in the shredder, because she walked out. I remember back in the 90s when we had a youth night when I was a youth pastor, and I remember when the X-Files was on and all those supernatural things. So I just started dating my wife and I found this story about her grandma. So I said, Audrey, would you come to youth? And we're going to interview about life after death. And so I got little Audrey up there. She didn't like the music much, but she was up there on the stage. And I said to Audrey, what happened? I told the story and I said, when you died, what happened? She said, Paul, I felt waves of the love of Jesus. I felt peace. I felt joy. I felt waves of the love of Jesus. And I felt, I was like, it was the best thing in the whole world. And then all I could hear was this pastor going, Audrey, Audrey, come back to life. And then I woke up and I saw his ugly face. And this is what she said to the young people. She said, you don't need to fear death when Jesus is in your life. Because the eternity is awesome. I'm telling you, do not be filled with the spirit of fear. God's going to give some people here strength. I can't tell you how long the storm's going to go for, but I do know you can tap into the strength of God. The third thing is this. He spoke with authority. Verse 39 says, then he arose, he rebuked the wind and said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Jesus has all authority. And I believe today, some of you, you just need to speak to the storm. The devil's been harassing your kids. The devil's been harassing your finances. The devil's been, and sometimes you just got to draw a line and say, that's it. Get your hands off my family. I plead the blood of Christ. I get the word. It is written, devil. And sometimes we got to speak to those storms of life. Speak with authority of God's word. Speak the promises of life from this word. Speak to your storm. Speak healing. Speak provision. Speak protection. Speak power. Speak grace. Speak forgiveness. Just speak the name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the strong Son of God. That's what we're going to speak. Don't say, why me? Why me? Come on, say, what are you saying, God? It is written. You know the story of Joseph. He had a dream and everything then went pear-shaped, went to custard after that, opposite to the will of God and plan of God of his life. His brothers betrayed him. He went to Potiphar's house. He served with honor in his heart, and his wife falsely accused him of a sexual crime. He gets put into jail. He starts running the jail using his gift of administration for God. You know the story. And he rose in favor. He interpreted the dream of the baker and the cupbearer, and they forgot about him for another 3 years. And then later on, he interprets Pharaoh's dream. Then he saves all of Egypt. And then years later, his brothers come. The very dream that he had to be fulfilled decades later. This is what it says in Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. All I know is God is good. People say, when I get to heaven, I've got questions about, I'm going to ask Jesus. No, you're not. You're just going to be in your face worshiping him. There won't be any questions. He's God. You're just you. I'll finish with a story. When I was a youth pastor in Adelaide, we had a great family church. They had three sons. They were head ushers. They were small group leaders. They also, we had this Christian scout thing called Rangers. They used to run that as well. And their eldest son was quite a quiet kid. And when he was 13, he said to his mum, I can't see the whiteboard, the blackboard. She said, sit at the front of the class. So the next week, he said, I still can't read. She goes, well, maybe you need glasses. Your dad's got glasses. I've got glasses. So they took him to the optometrist. And the optometrist said, no, this is more serious. You need to take him to the Royal Children's Hospital in Adelaide. And straight away, they found and they did a scan. He had a tumor on his brain that was pressing against the nerves of his eye, which was causing deterioration in his eyesight. And literally, from that point, it was downhill. Within a month, he was in a wheelchair. We anointed him with oil at church. He was going in for treatment. Then they found a secondary cancer in his chest. And, you know, this family, good family in our church, are like, God, why? And I remember the father saying, I'm not saying that question anymore. I'm going to say, God, what do you want to do? Where are you moving in our life? I remember going in with Pastor Tim Hall. We had communion with him in the hospital. And that week, they had one more scan on his brain before they were doing brain surgery. And I'm telling you, they did a CAT scan and there was no tumor on his brain. It was a total miracle. Total miracle. Doctors were amazed. Hospitals amazed. But I don't understand this. The tumor was gone, but he still had cancer in his chest. For the next 9 months, the family had to go through chemotherapy and all the horrible things that are involved in that. It was a tough season for that family. And they got involved camp canteen with all the kids and cancer. And about 18 months later, when he was in remission, totally free of cancer, his parents said, Paul, for youth camp, he's just still low immune system. Can he not go on the bus with all the kids? Can he just go in your car to the youth camp? I said, sure. And Gavin was a quiet kid. He didn't say anything on the 2-hour drive to the youth camp. But on the way back, we're driving back from camp. We had a great youth camp and he spoke. That was a miracle in itself. He said, Pastor Paul,
I had a dream on Thursday night at youth camp. I had a vision in the worship. I said, what is this? He said, I think I know why I went through this storm in my life. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you know how my mum and dad love camping? You know how they always camping whenever they can on a long... I said, yeah. He goes, I saw mum and dad out in the outback of South Australia, because we were in Adelaide at the time, with all these families from Camp Canteen on a big camping trip. And I saw my mum playing the guitar, leading them in worship around the campfire, and my dad sharing the scriptures and leading families to Christ. Well, you know what? A couple months later, their parents organized a big trip with all these Camp Canteen people. And every night they sung songs on the guitar and told them about Jesus. And I think 5 out of the 8 families gave their lives to Christ and got connected into the life of church. I cannot explain why bad things happen to good people. I just know we have a good God. And I'm telling you right now, I'm so glad he's walked with me through many, many storms. And he'll walk through yours. You will get to the other side. Peace! Be still, he said to the storm. I'm going to hand back to the pastors there in Melbourne, and I'm going to get Pastor Dan and the team to pray for you there.